We are in Revelation chapter 22, resuming our study at verse 18. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that is Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. Prior to our Bible study this morning, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving you the opportunity to use the rebound technique if yes is necessary, and that's diagrammed on the board behind me. Top circle, eternal security. Bottom circle, filling of the Holy Spirit and time, the absolute side of our spiritual life. We continue to sin as Christians. Don't raise your hand. And when you do sin, you're in the cosmos, and you cannot grow in your spiritual life in the cosmos. So you've got to get back to the filling of the Holy Spirit, the divine dynasphere. Real easy to do so. You simply name a known sin, and God will bundle all the sins together, the unknown sins, and put you back in that filling of the Holy Spirit relationship. It's not emotional. It's a fact. And once you're there, then you're able to travel along this road, and that's the road of your life, from Y to Z, which is the upward trend towards your calling to be a mature believer and enter into combat as a ranger, as an airborne ranger, not just a supply soldier, which all believers are in the angelic conflict at some level, the small level, but you will be one of those heroes on the battlefield, and that's what God has called us to do in the angelic conflict. So use that technique if you have to. We'll spend a few moments because you're a priest. You represent yourself before God. You don't need to go to a third party. You simply go boldly to the throne of God, name that sin, and you're ready to go. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of gathering here this morning to study your holy word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will stir us up, challenge us to move us forward as we approach the new year of 2026 in Christ's name. Amen. This is pretty near the end of 2025. I'm not sure what Tuesday is. Tuesday, New Year's Eve?
Wednesday.
I'm not sure. Wednesday? Yeah, so we've got another Bible class before we jump into 2026, which we're going to make some New Year's resolutions, of course, but that's for a future Bible class. Right now, we're going to try to finish up Revelation. You know, if we slowed way down, we got to chapter 22. We have a lot of doctrines to cover. So we're in verse 18, which says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, the book here refers to Revelation. This is the last book of the New Testament penned by John. He was imprisoned by the Roman Emperor Domitian in the year 96, stayed on the island for a little over a year. He was released, I believe, by Nerva. Domitian died in the year 96, and so he was replaced by an older Roman emperor, the kind of placeholder for the next one. But after that, we only have church history about what happened to him, but from all accounts, he died of old age. So if anyone takes from the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. So, again, it says, I testify to everyone who hears the prophecy, hears the words of this prophecy, and this is John who's penned this book, of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And then he says, verse 19, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. So John, of course, is giving us some warnings here, and this is written to believers because believers are the target audience for this book. Even though we have the gospel presented many times in the book for the unbeliever, the target audience is believers. The books of the Bible are used as the teaching methodology for pastor teachers, and this book was spread out immediately. Because, again, John was almost released very shortly after he penned this book. Might have carried it out himself, probably did, and then sent it out to all the churches. So his testimony is, when you hear the words of the prophecy, because these are things that are going to come, And as we noted, there are no prophecies before the rapture occurs. There are no biblical prophecies, Old Testament, New Testament, before the rapture will occur. The rapture can occur at any time. And with allergy season, I know a lot of people think in Texas here that, this might be a good time. But we don't know. It could be 500 years. It could be 5 years. It could be 5 minutes. We simply do not know. And we don't have to know. But there are no signs in the heavens or in the earth or earthquakes or this or that and the other thing. So many Christians are fooled by false pastor teachers that say, well, this sign is this, this sign is that, and that means the end is near. They have no idea what they're talking about. And they are obviously adding to the prophecies of this book. Now, there's going to be a lot of signs that occur because the Bible has a lot of signs that have not occurred yet. And these will all be signs for the second coming. They will all occur during the tribulation. You and I will not be here. We will not be here to see these signs. We will be in heaven. We will already have our resurrection body. We'll be standing before the judgment seat of Christ to answer that question. What did you do with the time that I gave you? So all the prophetical signs of the Old Testament that have not been fulfilled, they will all come to pass in the tribulation. There'll be signs in the heavens and the moon and the sun. We studied all that stuff before. But these are all out of our ballpark. There are no signs right now. We're living in the church age dispensation. There are no signs. There are trends in history, and you can make certain guesses about this, that, or the other thing, but there are no signs. Church age could go on for another 1,000 years. We simply do not know. And so do not be fooled. We've studied that before, but it's a good reminder. But there's a lot of people that that hear the words, and these are believers. Again, the target audience is believers. And they want to add to them. In other words, they distort them, they twist them, they turn them around for their own use. And generally, that's all about making money. They're trying to use that for financial gain of some sort, selling a book, selling a towel, selling holy water, bless this, bless that, or getting a bigger audience, because people are very excited about the tribulation. And you can get them going. When you really teach about the book of Revelation, you can get a whole bunch of people to show up because they're excited about all the strange things that are going to occur, and so they're very interested in that because it kind of tickles their fancy. And so if you add to this book, God's going to add to him, verse 19, the plagues which are written in this book, divine discipline. And there's three stages of divine discipline, of course. That's covered in 1 Corinthians, and it's culminated by the sin unto death, which means you can die. So you don't want to add to the Bible. Now, it's not just this book. It's the entire Bible. People add to the words of the Bible. They just take their scissors out, and all the parts they don't like, they cut them out, and they add their own part in there. Now, you can't do that. Logically, you cannot do this. If this is the Word of God, it's all the Word of God. You're not allowed the privilege of getting your scissors out and cutting out parts that you don't like, and your worldview thinks this, and et cetera, et cetera. That's idolatry. You're creating your own God, and that's an idol, and that's what you're worshiping. So no, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's all true, or it's not true. And as we studied, of course, for many years, it all fits together. Even if you've just been with this ministry for a short period of time, you can see it's interlocking. It all fits together. Old Testament, New Testament, it all has the same doctrines popping out everywhere. There's no contradictions whatsoever. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can't change. He's immutable. It's part of the attributes of the Trinity. One of them, immutability. He cannot change. And so people, of course, will add to the book. And you will have divine discipline. That's what the plague is all about, divine discipline. And so the three stages, of course, is warning discipline, intensive discipline, and then some sleep, as 1 Corinthians says. Some of the brethren have gone to sleep. And we don't talk about sleeping in Bible class. We're talking about you're dead. That's the doctrine of sleep. You're just dead. Your time is up. You've been taken off the earth because of incompetence. And that's a very real thing. How do you avoid divine discipline? Rebound. Once you rebound, any discipline that you have accumulated under divine discipline is immediately converted to suffering for blessing. And so testing is an absolute necessity for all of us to grow. You've got to be tested with the Bible doctrine that you put in your soul. But you don't want to mess with adding anything to the Word of God, because this is the Word of God. And then we have verse 19. If anyone takes away from the words of this book, words of the prophecy, words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. And so what is the tree of life? There are actually two trees of life that are identified in the Bible. One was in the Garden of Eden, and that tree of life deals with eternal life. But there's another tree of life that we're going to study today, which deals with your rewards. It's part of your rewards. And so if you are taking or adding, this is just a nice way for John to put this, you don't add to the Word of God, you don't take away from the Word of God. And so the first one is you add your own opinion, and that's a no-no. Here, this is the scissors cutting out the parts you don't like. I probably got ahead of myself when I talked about using the scissors to cut out the bark. Well, that's your taking away. The adding to it, you're adding your own opinion. You're not doing what the Word of God says. You add your own opinion. And many people, of course, it's very easy to do because they don't know what it says. So they just have their own opinion. The taking away is parts that offend you. I've run across people who say, well, God could never, there's no such thing as hell. God could never have a hell. And I just don't believe in it. I just cut it out. Other people don't believe in eternal security. They just take their scissors and cut it right out. No, you can't do that. So you're taking away from the Word of God. You're not adding to it, you're just taking away. And you're creating your own Word of God. Thomas Jefferson, as great as he was, he put out a Bible called the Jefferson Bible, where he just cut out a lot of the things that were miracles in the New Testament. I'm not going to put them in there. They just didn't believe him. I don't know if he was a believer or not. Some people, historically, you can look at them, and he used the God word a lot. He certainly understood the divine institutions, but I haven't studied him that closely, but it doesn't pop out at you. Lincoln, I studied very carefully. No evidence whatsoever that he was a believer in any of his writings. He wrote a lot. Robert E. Lee, on the other hand, that just pops out everywhere. No doubt that he was a born-again believer and high on the road to spiritual maturity, all in his letters crammed throughout almost everything that he wrote. So, you can use the God word, but you're taking your scissors and you're cutting out large parts of the Bible, which many churches do. They will not teach you things like the doctrine of life. When does life begin? They're afraid they're going to lose half the congregation because they have their own predetermined views about when they think life begins. We're talking about human life. They can't distinguish between biological life and human life. And if you tell them the truth, you're going to lose a lot of people because they've got their own ideas. They cut all that stuff out. That's the stuff. Don't want it. So you will have, this is a believer, so you've got the yin and the yang. One, you're going to get divine discipline, and then part two, your rewards are going to be cut down. Whatever rewards are set out for you, you're not going to get them. So the doctrine of rewards, of course, is linked right to this XYZ diagram. You start out as a believer. You don't know anything. When I say you, I'm raising my hand too. I don't know anything. Didn't know anything. But we know we don't know anything. Now, the danger with the internet today, you can get on the internet and just surf that sucker and see every knucklehead and his brother with their ideas about what they think the Bible says. It's a sewer, most of it. And you've got to discipline yourself to not drink from that water because it's polluted water. You've got to find a pastor teacher and dedicate yourself under their authority. But there's a lot of people like the butterfly. They fly from this flower to that flower, that flower to this flower, and then they land on a cow turd. No. God has promised that he will give you a pastor teacher. And there's not 15 of them. And if that one kicks the bucket, well, you still got the electronic version of them for quite some time. And then God will give you another one. But many people, of course, I run into them all the time. They cannot stay away from the internet. And they listen to every knucklehead there, and the most weird things you can see there. Because they're going to know better than your pastor teacher knows. And maybe they do. If you've got a rotten pastor teacher, you might be right. But that's for you to decide. You do you, and you make that determination. But the Word of God is very clear. He will give you someone. And it's not a case where you're going to have 15 of them because you're going to choose what this one says and you choose something from that one and this one here and make your own dinner plate. Well, that's not going to work. You will not grow up in your spiritual life because basically you're an arrogant person. You know better. And you will find what tickles your ears, and that's what you'll adopt. You don't want to hear the truth. You want to be tickled. That's one of the phrases from the Bible. They want their ears tickled. And a lot of pastors will tickle your ears, but oh my golly, I get on the internet. I kind of don't do it too much, but I basically get on the radio. And then as I'm driving here, driving there, you just kind of flip channels to all these religious channels. Oh my golly, just heresy after heresy. But see, if you don't know Bible doctrine, you won't know it's heresy. And you'll be sucked right into the vortex. Well, dear old so-and-so said, I got to give 10%. God will bless me, so I better write a check. No, it's a lie. But he sounds so good. He's so entertaining. I'm sure he is. Great personality. I'm sure they do. But they're lying. Somebody's lying to you. Either this church is lying to you or they're lying to you. We both aren't telling the truth. So, you know, I would say don't expose yourself to other people until you've got a good belly full of accurate Bible doctrine, because then you can spot them. If you don't have Bible doctrine, you can't spot them. They just love, 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 do good, be good, feel good. Well, you're right there with them. Well, the church I used to go to, all they did is study, study, study. They don't do any love, love, love. Show me the love. Well, we do show you the love. You just don't know it. It's called tough love. Tough love means they actually do love you. Anybody can say, I love you, but I don't want to get on a tangent. But yeah, the internet's filled with stuff. It's amusing if you have Bible doctrine. But again, if you start to run with wolves, you will begin to howl, as my great-grandmother used to say. Very true. Do not run with the wolves. But you make that decision, because Satan is a time stealer. And I'll tell you what, the internet is the biggest time stealer imaginable. He's laughing. That's a huge time stealer. Kids are on the frickin' cell phones. You've seen these studies. They're like zombies. And they're on that 24/7, and just, they don't go outside. They don't do anything. And their brain is turned to mush. And they can't regulate themselves, and their parents are too worthless to regulate them, and there you go. So when you get older, you can regulate yourself. It's an entertainment thing at most. But, you know, you got to get out in the real world, as you'll discover that it really doesn't educate you. It entertains you, but you've got to be educated. But it has some good aspects to it. I mean, if you're doing home repairs and you can't figure out how to do something, I do it myself. I go to YouTube, how do I do that? And some dummy pops up there and shows you how they're doing stuff. It's like the uncle you didn't have that showed you how to do stuff. So it has good parts. I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just using this from the perspective of Bible doctrine. You're not gonna find very much on there that's accurate. Now, sometimes there's a diamond in the rough somewhere here and there, but that's not how God set things up. He just didn't. So these are the two great hazards for many Christians. They add to it or take it away. They just don't like it. They don't like what that pastor says. And they go to the Bible and they say, well, it does say that right there. And he told me what the word was. And that makes sense. But I don't like it. It offends me. They're offended. So away they go. And they go off to somebody that will tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. And so the rewards part, so it's like the carrot and the stick if you do civil procedure. If you get a notice to that you're being sued, you're usually going to get it in the mail. And if you waive notice, then you get an extra 30 days to supply your answer, and you also do not have to pay the cost if they have to come serve you in person. So here you've got the carrot and the stick. The stick is divine discipline. If you stray off the railroad track of Bible doctrine, so it doesn't just apply to Revelation, it applies to all the Word of God. Because remember, John just didn't write Revelation. He wrote the book of John. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and lots of other Johns that we don't have. The Holy Spirit didn't supply all those letters, but he was a prolific letter writer. So was Paul. That's how they communicated. They sent out these letters to the various churches, but the Holy Spirit saw fit that these letters would be put in. So you add to it, divine discipline will be added to you, lots of it. And if you take away, well, God will take away your rewards. Well, how does he take them away? Well, because you have them in an escrow account. You just don't get them. So that calls for the doctrine of rewards with emphasis on the tree of life. Now, you have in front of you that I handed out today for people in person in Bible class. See, there is a benefit to coming in person than to staying on the Zoom, because you have the latest doctrine of rewards that's going to be in the fourth edition. The pages are all the same if you have the third edition, so follow along. We're on page 568, the doctrine of rewards, because that's what we have in verse 19. it says your rewards. Part of your rewards is this tree of life. This is not the tree of eternal life. You're already a believer. You already got eternal life. This is another tree. Same name, but a different tree. Just as we studied, remember we studied the book of life. So the book of life has two meanings. One, book of life for salvation, but there's another part of the book of life, as we discussed, and that is your rewards. You have rewards. So the tree of life, of course, is a similar concept. So your name is blotted out of the book of life as an unbeliever, but your name could also be blotted out of the book of life. If you're an unbeliever, it also could be blotted out. If you're a believer, you don't get your rewards. You're blotted out from that book. And here, you're going to take away your part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which is written about in this book. The holy city, of course, is when heaven comes down to earth, when the universe is destroyed. The earth will be destroyed, the universe will be destroyed, and the third heaven will come down right out of the third heaven, right onto this earth. And people will have access to go into the holy city, but not everybody. It's part of the rewards for winner believers. Now, if you're a winner believer, that means there's loser believers. Again, loser believers doesn't mean you can lose your salvation. You cannot. But you lose your rewards. Well, how did I lose my rewards? Well, you did it to yourself. Look up the doctrine of enemy. You added to the Bible or you took away from the Bible. And you just didn't do what you're told to do. You were not following orders. So let's look at the doctrine of rewards on page 568. We'll get a running start here. And so the definition, all believers have the potential for temporary rewards, Matthew 6:33, in this life, and eternal rewards in eternity. As Jesus Christ stated, my reward is with me to render every man according to what he has done. That's Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. We've already said that. When it says, my reward is with me, he is the one that releases the rewards to you. He is the escrow officer. Lots of passage there. In fact, eternal rewards are given at the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ, the first one will be for church age believers, but each dispensation will have their own judgment seat of Christ. Church age is first. We get our resurrection bodies first. Remember, Jesus has his right now. Nobody else has one. The next group will be the church age. And that's company B. Then there's company C. There's company D. These are the other dispensations. They will get their resurrection body right before the second coming. The next group, company C, that's Old Testament believers and dead tribulational believers, and they will have their judgment seat of Christ at that time as well. Okay, so and we have a lot of passages there. It says, accordingly, the eternal state is a place of vast inequality with a few winner believers receiving many times as much. There's not many. So if you wonder, why isn't this church big? There's just not many that want to learn Bible. Not. They just don't. You can stick the horse's face right in water or a mule. They're not going to drink. You can beat them with a stick. They're not going to drink. They don't want to drink. There's nothing you can do to cure a negative volition. Impossible. Cannot be cured. And so that's the way it is. That's the way it's always been. If you've been around this church for a while, we studied all sorts of concepts, of vast numbers of believers, but few people in that category that really want to learn about the Word of God. We studied in our last Bible class those two evils, remember? I have a complaint against my people, the Jews. Two evils. One, very few of you are saved. And number two, very few of you that are saved want to learn Bible doctrine. You have broken cisterns. Your jar is broken. So you can pour in Bible doctrine into a broken jar. It just goes out the bottom. Does no good. And that jar, of course, refers to their positive volition. They don't want it. Now, they do all the rituals. Oh, yeah, they're going to the temple. They're bowing and nodding and killing the animals and observing all the Passovers and the holy things and stuff. Means nothing. Absolutely nothing. They don't know what it stands for, and they don't want to learn. But they like the religious rituals. They like the drama. They like the dressing up and doing this and doing that and, you know, having fellowship with other people and swapping spit with them. Means nothing. Absolutely nothing. As the Lord said to his disciples, stop looking at the temple. The temple was a magnificent religious structure. He said, stop looking at the temple. They were awed by it. Yeah, there's nothing there. Nothing. There's no Bible doctrine is what he meant. They're not teaching the truth. And you can't grow without the spiritual food of Bible doctrine. You cannot grow. So, We've got Revelation 22:12 there. We've already studied that, so I'll skip over to point two. Eternal rewards. The believer's evaluation for eternal rewards at the judgment seat of Christ deals with two separate categories: divine good, which is rewardable, and human good, which is not rewardable. And all of us, we're going to have two stacks: your human good and your divine good. Everything you do in the cosmos, even if it's good stuff, is not rewardable. So you could be a believer out of fellowship, and you can work in the soup kitchens 24/7. And you can hand out gospel tracts, our little Bible tracts here to people. It means nothing. Now, it might mean something that somebody gets it and they're saved, but you get no rewards for that at all, because you did it in the energy of the flesh. But see, God can turn cursing into blessing. But you're not getting anything. Only thing that's rewardable is when you are here. And when you're here, you can just sit there and stare at the ceiling, and you're racking up reward points. You don't do anything. But of course, the big rewards come when you start doing this, start doing that. So that's divine good, which is all rewardable. Human good, not rewardable. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear. That's you. We must all appear, not we may appear. You will appear. Whether you believe it or not, you will stand before this judgment seat of Christ, before the judgment seat of Christ. Where'd you get that term? Right here out of the Bible. We must all appear. And that's, you're going to be in your resurrection body, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body. In the body means your, what you did in your mortal body. You're going to be paid back. You're going to be compensated. Each one of us. Well, that's why you're standing there. So each one may be recompensed for the deeds in the body according to what he has done. The word according, I didn't put the Greek word in there, but it's kata, which means according to a norm or a standard. What's the norm or the standard? Bible doctrine. So the deeds in the body, what did you do with your body? Well, you know, I ate. I worked in the yard. I did this. I did that. Well, good job. But that's not the purpose of your body. Your body encases your soul, your eternal soul. It's just a tent. And so it's a motor. But you are, the soul is what you are. What'd you do in the body? According to what he has done, whether good, agathos, that's divine good. Did you do the divine good? Or bad, phalos, which means worthless. It doesn't mean fornicating and drinking and partying and stuff. You don't have to fornicate and drink when you party. You can party without fornicating and drinking. In fact, when you have a party, you kind of want to invite different people to the party. If you have a party, you just invite people that are, everybody has their own personality. You invite somebody that's very somber and they don't really do much, like a wallflower, that'd be a very dull party. You want to get a couple people in there that are very bombastic and then kind of liven the party up a little bit. But you don't have to sin when you party. Okay. So We've got all, and phalos, worthlessness. That's human good. Everything you do here is worthless. Absolutely worthless. Worthless. I don't care what you do. It's phalos. Worthless. So you're going to be rewarded. So what's the reward for worthless stuff? It's all burned up. That's a reward. Ashes. So first category, point A, divine good, agathos, produced by the believer, has great eternal reward. Second category, human good, phalos, produced by a believer, is completely rejected by God and destroyed by fire. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, at the judgment seat of Christ. And then we've got Romans 14, 10 to 11. But you, this is a fellow believer, why do you judge your brother? Or you, again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? That means you despise another believer. For we, all believers, will stand before the judgment seat of God. And that, of course, Jesus is God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue, all believers, shall give praise to God. This is not for every human. This is for believers. Even the loser believer will realize grace, probably for the first time, at the judgment seat of Christ. And so the question is, why do you judge your brother? In other words, God's going to judge you. As we noted, the best way to deal with other people is treat them as God treats you. That's all you got to do. And you'll be okay. How does God treat you? Oh my golly. If we got what we deserve, that's how you treat other people. Even people that are whacked out of their minds, and they're selfish, and they're mean, and they're whatever, would I got all that. How do you treat them? As God treats you. You don't judge. Everybody has their own personality. You got to learn that you can't change people. They can change themselves, but you can't change them. You're going to hurt you're going nuts trying to change people. You got to love them as they are, with all the moles and all the warts and all the other things. Some people, of course, you can't really read them too well because they, you know, you can't really think what they're thinking. Other people, you know exactly what's on their mind because they tell you all the time. Two different types of personalities, two extremes. Peter, for example, you didn't have to wonder what Peter was thinking. He'd tell you. He'd just blurt right out. It's all very good, all in the scripture. He'd blah, 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 whatever it was, just like a bull in a china closet. Just tell you. Other people, man, you couldn't figure out what they're thinking. They just kept it all to themselves. But, you know, that's the way humans are. Some have a very dour personality, like Scots or whatever. Some people are just very bombastic. But again, treat people as God treats you. That's the first thing you want to rethink of when something goes sideways. I hate to say when things go south because I'm a Southerner. Yankees made up that phrase. Thing goes north means bad to me. The North in this country, man, oh man. Talk about rejection of divine institutions as a general principle. It's where all the blue states are from. People are whacked. When things go south means good. I'm all for that. So I'll just say when things go sideways. And thank goodness we're in this great state of Texas, which is still a red state. We have whack jobs in the state, obviously, but generally speaking, we've got normal people here more than the abnormal. But there's a lot of abnormal too. Okay, so number three, two types of divine good. And this is what we've got. Since God can only recognize and reward his own perfection, there are two types of divine good that the believer can abide in during his life. Minnow means to remain in that thing. The amount of time the believer spent in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and two, learning and applying Bible doctrine. Successfully executing these two arenas of divine good determines the quantity and quality of rewards for the believer. 1 John 1:9, and then that's rebound, and then 1 John 2:28. Final, before we break, point four, there's no human good in heaven. No human good will be allowed into heaven. All the believer's human good, loser believer produces large amounts of it when out of fellowship with God the Holy Spirit, will be completely burned up at the judgment seat of Christ as wood, hay, straw. In addition, with the creation of the new universe, all other works which infected the old universe will be totally obliterated. That's why the old earth is going to be totally obliterated. And the old universe will be totally obliterated. Why? It was infected with the sin of Satan. And the earth is infected with the sin of mankind. We're going to destroy. God's going to destroy all that stuff. It'll all be gone, burned up, along with your human good and my human good. And the analogy, of course, that we studied many times, 1 Corinthians 3:12-13. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, that's divine good. And then we should have ore there. Or wood, hay, straw. That's human good in the cosmic system. Each man's work will become evident. And that's phaneros, which means apparent, manifest. You can't hide it. For the day will show it. What day? The judgment seat of Christ. That's the day of reckoning. Because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test. And that's dokimazo, which means to test, to examine. So the combustible materials or items will be destroyed real quick. The quality of each man's work. So you're producing wood, hay, straw here. That's all burned up. Gone. And that's not. Fire purifies things. And it's going to burn up all the nonsense. And also, Christ didn't die for your human good. He only died for your sins. But God will not allow human good into the new universe. No. It'll all be destroyed. And it will be destroyed. And then point five, faithfulness is the key. The key to all rewards is a believer's faithfulness, pistos, to Bible doctrine, so much so that the winner believer can say, my mind instructs me in the night. When you're laying in your bed getting ready to go to sleep, my mind instructs me in the night. You're turning over Bible doctrine that you've learned in your mind. And if you have problems, you just use a faith rest technique and go to sleep. Not a big deal. And you realize that this is the day that the Lord has made. You just finished one, now you got another one. Tomorrow will be another day. And so your mind instructs you in the night. But see, your mind can't instruct you in the night if your mind don't know anything. This refers to the mature believer that has Bible doctrine. He just goes back over the Bible doctrine. We've got problems. Okay, my mind instructs me to apply this doctrine, and I'm going to go to sleep now. For example, so Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God, 2 Chronicles 26:27-6. This is how you become mighty. You order your ways before the Lord his God. That's you. The Lord is your God. You order your ways before him. What does God think about what you're doing? Who cares what people think? What does God think? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Well, that's how you become mighty. And then Antipas, that pastor teacher, was called my witness, my faithful one. Well, you can be called the same thing. In fact, you will be called the same thing at the judgment seat of Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We'll study that in just a moment. But page 570, we got the eight R's. Some of you are rolling your eyes. The eight R's. Yes, the eight R's is a teaching tool. It's a wonderful teaching tool. The first tandem, because these things come in tandems. All believers got the first tandem. Tandem means two. And that's regeneration and God's righteousness. You're born again. You receive 40 things. One of those things in the eight R's is his righteousness, because you need that or you can't be saved. You must have God's righteousness. That pamphlet that we have sets it out very clearly. Grab some more if you're running out of ammo. You now have his plus R, plus R, plus, plus R. You're in. Now, most believers, they never go any further. That's it. That's the why here on the diagram. They're unbelievers. Now they're believers. They got the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, 40 things. That's it. They do their first sin. They're in the cosmos. They never get out for 50, 60 years. Oh, but I went to church for 50, 60 years. Good job. Did that church ever teach you about rebound? No. Well, then you never got out of the playpen, dude. They taught you about human good. Oh, yeah. They taught me about singing and dancing. Oh, yeah. They taught me about doing this and doing that. Oh, I'm sure they did. They rolled their eyes. They did this, did that. Means nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's all satanic. Absolutely satanic. Well, you did it to yourself. But there are a few that go to the next tandem and the next tandem and the next tandem. So the next tandem is rebound plus reception. You've got to know rebound. Rebound is key. That's the number one problem-solving device. Rebound. So I can get here. Because if you can't do that, you ain't going nowhere. And then reception is you want to learn. Now, you can switch these around. You can put reception and then rebound. Doesn't matter. Because you're not going to get rebound until you have reception. What's reception? I want to know about God. That's what that means. That's the positive believer that says, I want to know. I heard the gospel, I'm saved. I want to know something. Well, you'll get a pastor teacher that will teach you rebound and on up the ladder. The next tandem is repetition. You don't learn by hearing it one time. You got to hear it over and over and over and over again before it gets to your thick skull. And I have a thick skull too. Some skulls are thicker than others. But you know, I heard that once. Really? Well, go explain it to somebody. We'll see what you know. You know what you believe when you hear it, but you know what you know and you got to tell somebody. Good luck with that. I'll just close my eyes and call up a volunteer to draw up the eight R's on the board. Can you do it? Why not? Can you give me your dissertation on eternal security? Well, there's a whole lots of points there. Can you give me five of them? Why not? So yes, you know what you know. You know what you believe when you're alone. I'll put it that way. You know what you know when you got to tell somebody. Remember what Peter said? Be prepared always to explain to someone the hope that is in you. Can you do that? I'm just asking you a question. And then that requires work. Oh my golly, you mean I just can't sit here and get spoon-fed? Yeah, I can feed it to you, but no, you got to work. That means overtime. No taxes on overtime. Yeah, you've got to have some overtime on this stuff. You just can't show up on Bible class on Sunday. Okay, I'll be back next Sunday. You ain't growing very much. You got to put some work into the thing. And it's not hard. My mind instructs me in the night. Well, that means this person's thinking about it all the time. It's circulating through their brain. Okay. So reception rebound, repetition, reception, then reception and retention. Then you will retain it. It's finally retained in your soul. It's there. You know it's there. You can recall it. And so when it's there, God will give you a test. A lightning bolt, ba-boom, right on your gluteus maximus. That means your rear end in the Latin. And then you got the test. Ouch, that hurts. Tests do hurt, or otherwise it wouldn't be a test. Now, if you're a baby believer, the test is going to be like a little mosquito biting you. Once you get up this ladder, these tests get progressive in nature. They get worse. They get heavier. So when you have a new believer and you're talking about Christ, don't say, oh, now that you're a Christian, life's going to be great. No more problems. Really? That's not true. But see, you can deal with the problems. But that's how you grow. So you're going to get the test. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is very clear. And God says, I will give you the test. And it's going to be a test that everybody gets. It's not some supernatural test where Martians come down and kidnap you and take you to the planet Zeno. No, you're going to get a Dear John. You're going to get fired. You're going to get this. Unbelievers get the same test. They just use tools that they can't pass the test. They can sublimate. They can do this, do that, but they can't pass it. But see, you have the tools to pass the test. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10 says, and with the test, I'll give you the way out. Which means you apply Bible doctrine. That's what we have in the degree, the next thing here. The next tandem, the last tandem is recall. You got the test. Recall the Bible doctrine you've retained. And then you respond to the test with that Bible doctrine. And then you pass the test and you get rewards. These are the mega rewards. These are the rewards for this person that's going up here. That's not the baby rewards. Baby rewards, yeah, you'll get a little bit. The judgment seat of Christ just staying here. But, of course, if you're not a serious student, you're not going to stay here long. You won't stay here long. Okay, so we'll take a break here. We'll come back with our head bowed and eyes closed. Father, thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us by these things in Christ's name. Amen.